You don't go, then you go, bong, 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 bong. And the others are passing you by the rounds. You got to pace yourself. And then when it's just that last lap, that's when you increase your pace. There is a certain goal. So the second point in an athlete is being goal-oriented, but play by the rules. See, some people are goal-oriented, but they will use any means for the end. We must get to the end, but use the right means. Use legal methods, use good methods, and do not use evil for good. You repay evil with good, but you don't use evil in order to achieve a good end. And that's the second category for Timothy to flow along as a minister. The third area here is a farmer. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake the crops. Now the picture of a farmer, if you compare it with the book of James, chapter 5, the emphasis is on the patience of a farmer to partake his fruit. And every minister who wants to succeed must be patient. What kind of patience? When you don't see results, you still plod on. A farmer doesn't see some results until the harvest. And in a ministry, sometimes you don't see results, and you got to have the farmer nature coming out from you. You say like Habakkuk and say, though the fig tree does not blossom and the wine does not bear fruit, there be no meat in the fold, no herd in the stalls, no meat in the field, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, I will plow on. I will keep sowing because there will be a day of reaping. I will keep sowing. David Brainerd sowed among the American Indians with a hard work for many, many, many years. For many years, his heart cried. He didn't watch TV up there in the American Indians. In those days, maybe TV is not around. But he didn't read the wrong things or do the wrong thing. Every day his heart, you read his diary, the diaries of David Brennan by Jonathan Edwards. And you read every day he was praying for them. Every day his heart cried out for God and cried out for the American Indians. Many, many years. But one day, God brought in all the harvest. And in that one short year, almost the entire tribe that he worked with got saved. But how many years of sowing in tears? That's the farmer in us that we need to. That no matter what people say, no matter what people are doing and hearing, just be faithful to what God asks you to do. You're not distracted anywhere. Sometimes somebody will come and say, hey, we're not having fruit anyway. Let's try this. But you know you have the most proven methods God has given you. Prayer, tears, the Word of God, Holy Spirit. You're not going to try some gimmick. You're going to plod on and sow. And in the end, you reap a real harvest and revival that nothing else will bring. Three qualities in order to flow, go with the flow and be the worker that God wants us to be. And as we see the opposing truths there in chapter 2 in verse 17, and their message was spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who are straight concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. What happened to these people is they were once upon a time believers, but they go off on deep ends. They don't keep to the flow. They park their canoe in the wrong place instead of letting the current bring them to where Jesus wants them to be. So there they are, some canoes are parked along some deep place somewhere instead of going on with God. And they go off tangent on one emphasis, on one method. We have seen many people go off tangents. Either people go off tangent on the deliverance message, or they go off tangent on the healing message,
or they go off tangent on the prosperity truth, or they go off tangent on the prophetic truth, and all every time they do is prophesy. Or they go, any truth can go off tangent. Or they go off tangent on praise. You mean priests can also go off tangent? Yes. Where all the time they emphasize rejoicing, and they lack quietness in worship. They lack that. We have come to the time when, in the praise movement, we learn to rejoice with God, but we also need to learn the art of being quiet with God that the Quaker movement had in its earlier days. Because it's in solitude or quietness that the greatest thinking can take place many times in God. In solitude, the deep meditation in God. So some of our noisiness can be because of our shortness of thinking. We go on the rhythm, we forget the content. But at the same time, we do need rejoicing. What we are saying is, all these things are correct and true. But don't just focus on one tangent and go off on one aspect. Which, as you see these two people whom Paul mentioned, the mistake that they made was they go off tangent and focus on the second coming of Jesus. And they went overboard to say that He actually has come. Just like some people who teach on second coming, all they emphasize is Antichrist. To them, second coming message means talk about who Antichrist is. That's not what the second coming message is all about. There is only one small aspect. There are many more things in terms of the second coming message. So not to go off tangent, and those three qualities there, Paul summarizes by talking about the worker here in verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Be diligent in God. Now that kind of diligence, he says, is a type that you need boldness, you're not ashamed, and you rightly divide the word of God. You know what is right, you know what is wrong. A diligence, if you study the Greek word, it's referring to that kind of discipline. And it ties back to the discipline of a soldier. A discipline of a soldier. They march in ranks. There are three qualities he repeats again. Discipline. And the second quality in verse 22. Flee also youthful lust. He talks about cleansing the vessel. Being a vessel of honor. Number one, discipline. Number two, purity. When we talk about purity, the athlete is the picture of that. For in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, he says, lay aside every weight and every besetting sin that weigh you down. So to be an athlete, you have to only get the clothes you need. You don't wear your long pajamas to run. You wear your running shorts. I'm sure you won't find in the morning somebody doing their jogging in their pajamas. Unless the shorts was their pajamas, that is. But there are running clothes. And don't take on additional weights. Purity of life is necessary to purity of goal. If there's no purity of life, there will be no purity of goal. How able you are to concentrate on one goal depends on how undistracted you are by the things around you. The more you're attracted to the things at the side and the sins, the less your ability to reach that goal. So again, he repeats in a different manner the second principle of an athlete, purity. Thirdly, it's a farmer this time. And he says in verse 25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. He emphasized now the quality of humility. Humility is a quality to be able to humble yourself in any situation and allow God to avenge you. Allow God to lift you up. For you know, when you humble yourself, one day somebody called God will work on your behalf. It's like a farmer, faithfully doing your work, faithfully doing your job, faithfully putting in the seed, even though you see nothing yet. Even though all around you, there's all kinds of jeers and mockery, opposition, and strife. But you know what you're doing. And you feel like answering back. You feel like arguing back. You feel like justifying yourself. Don't. Be the farmer. Just keep planting. Because the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, that God will exalt the humble and He will cast down the proud. But He applies that quality to winning people who have turned aside from God. How the humility will bring people in the end. That's the quality of a farmer. Just be a humble farmer. Keep sowing and keep planting. And you see the results. Chapter 3. The man of God. And here in chapter 3, as we have mentioned, Jannes and Jambres symbolize demonic opposition. In chapter 3, signs and wonders starts happening. From a son, you move into a worker, a good worker, the three qualities, and then you go to chapter 3. You become the man or woman of God that God wants you to. Wants you to be. In verse 10, he says, chapter 3, "You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, love, perseverance." All those six areas are important. The other two, verse 11, persecution and afflictions are qualities, or rather situations that come from without. But all the first six are things that must come from within. And I have divided them in this manner. See, when I sat down and we were organizing our Bible school, I said, "Lord, if I had to study all over again, what would be the most important things that would have actually had prepared me more for the ministry?" And I sat down and listed six areas. Number one, I realized that I still needed the theological training. I still needed to wrestle with deep truths like predestination, justification, sanctification, and wrestle and understand it as much as I can in my heart and in my mind. Which the charismatics lack. We still need to wrestle with theology. Number two, I realized how helpful Christian history and biographies have helped me. That's the second area of training. So we have six fields of study in our Bible school. The third area is the faith message. It was the turning point of my life, the faith message. To see the good God, to see the hidden purpose and what God has for us. Principles of confession. All this is so vital to any Christian life. Faith message was the third area. And then listed the fourth area is biblical knowledge. Bible languages, Greek, Hebrew. Book by book study, verse by verse study. Bible, Old Testament, New Testament survey. You can learn every commentary you want, but if you don't know the Bible by heart, it's no use. So I realized the knowledge of the Bible is essential, biblical truth. And then the fifth area is charismatic truths. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, anointing of the Holy Spirit, to learn in those areas, the practice, which the charismatics are good at, or a lot of schools on that. Which the evangelicals tend to like. And the sixth is practical ministry. Learning to work under a different ministry. And a personal relationship. Personal relationship. That is, we must learn the simple art of how to relate to people. These are skills that must be taught, 6 different areas. And you find in verse 10,